Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Biden is going all in on wind power. Earlier this year, the White House called for 30 gigawatts of offshore wind power by 2030. That's enough to power 10 million homes. It is a tall order, but the administration has recently approved a new project off the coast of New York and another near Martha's Vineyard. And wind is growing onshore as well. Last year, the U.S. added more wind power capacity than any other type of energy. Let's look into its future with Lucy Pao. She's a professor at the University of Colorado Boulder and a fellow at the Renewable and Sustainable Energy Institute. Lucy, welcome.
Thank you very much. Wonderful to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And I need to settle an important question right out of the gate here. Is it turbines or turbines?
I say turbines.
Okay. Turbines. That's what we'll use through the course of this conversation.
Okay.
All right. So wind turbines. We've got that settled.
Yeah.
Wind turbines generated just about 8%, or just over 8% of the electricity in this country last year. But the Biden administration recently approved these two offshore wind farms in the Atlantic. Tell me about the significance of those projects.
Oh, so I think this is it's wonderful. And so, you know, Biden's goal of 30 gigawatts by 2030, I think, is really speeding up some of the approval processes for offshore wind farms. And I think these first two, Vineyard Wind and South Fork, are wonderful initial steps.
And I'm no expert, but I understand that these are fixed bottom wind farms, meaning that they're attached to the ocean mm-hmm. floor. Can you explain how the power gets from the turbines out in the ocean to New York State, for example?
Yes. So these are fixed bottom wind turbines, which means that the wind turbines are built all the way down to the ocean floor. And as they generate electricity, there are transmission cables that have to come from that offshore wind farm onto land.
Well, let's talk about the innovations on offshore, because there's lots of it coming. What are floating turbines, and how far off are we from that technology?
Yeah, so floating wind turbines really will unlock the potential of offshore wind, in particular in the United States, because nearly all of the West Coast will be deep water offshore, and that's where floating wind will be needed. So essentially, once you get to more than 60 or 80 meters deep, then it doesn't make sense to build these fixed bottom offshore wind turbines all the way down to the ocean floor. It becomes much more economical to consider floating wind. And so then essentially there are floating platforms on top of which we have the wind turbines. But there's a lot of interest worldwide.
Speaking of worldwide, in Denmark, I see that they just installed a 108-meter blade in a prototype plant. That's longer than a football field for people here in the United States. Why are these blades getting so big? That's just tremendous.
Right. And so in an effort to drive down the cost of wind energy and have it be more and more competitive, and at this point it is quite competitive with, you know, natural gas and other types of energy, wind turbines have been growing in size over the last several decades. And at this point, you know, the major wind turbine manufacturers are looking at wind turbines that are, you know, more than 10 megawatts especially for offshore. And so I believe the wind turbine that you're talking about in Denmark is a 14 megawatt wind turbine. It's a prototype. I believe it's a Siemens Gamesa turbine. Mm. And so these are the sizes that are being considered. And in large part, you know, even considering, you know, in the future, even larger turbines, mostly to drive down the cost of wind energy.
So a lot of innovations are coming. If you're a fan of wind energy, that's great. If you're not, it could be cause for concern. There are some environmentalists who actually worry about the impact on wildlife and birds. Many fishermen don't appreciate the wind farms mm-hmm. out in the ocean. What kind of problems does wind power face that might limit its growth potential?
Yeah, great question. I think those of us who work in wind energy, I think we are interested in clean energy and in helping the environment. And the bigger picture really is to understand, you know, how these ecological systems are affected by wind energy. And most of us are very interested in better understanding kind of that whole picture. And I think all these aspects do need to be accounted for as wind projects move forward.
Is it true that there are small pockets of the country that can already meet 100% of their energy needs with wind alone?
I believe so. Right now, at least by state, Iowa is in the lead. They have, on average, across a year, about 60% of their electrical energy needs being met by wind. And some local pockets within Iowa are even higher. So I read somewhere that the Des Moines, Iowa metro area has about 80% of its energy being met by wind. And I would imagine that instantaneously, maybe across a few hours here and there throughout the year, they probably get very close to 100% wind.
So it's remarkable. And if that's the case, how much of a role do you think this technology can play in the energy needs of the U.S. in the coming decades? Like, how much of our portfolio could it make up?
I think wind can make up maybe 50% of the U.S. energy needs. I think, you know, there is a lot of wind resource as well as solar resource in the U.S. and, you know, along with hydro and nuclear and other clean energy sources, I think we can meet the 100% energy goals.
Lucy Powell is a professor at the University of Colorado Boulder and a fellow at the Renewable and Sustainable Energy Institute. Professor Powell, thanks for talking about wind with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.